Hi, Canary Capsules. Welcome to the Chronicle of New Eden. I'm Dan Snod, co-CEO of Sorry in Advance, an alliance in Wormhole. I'm also the co-host of the Canary Capsules Chronicle. It's a weekly show about Eve's news every Tuesday at 2015 Eastern Time Zone. Today is the first episode about the Galanty Federation. We talk about them in the first episode, describing them as a nation of hedonistic libertines, compassionate and cunning in equal measure. We also saw them in an episode of Amar, when the Amar decide to not try to enslave them because they are a too large and powerful group. So they settle into an uneasy truce. I'm gonna put the link of this episode in the description. So in this episode, we're gonna understand why this truce was so difficult, where the Galanty come from, and all about their history. Are you ready to dive into this episode with me? Oh, and keep in mind that I'm doing that podcast to get better in English, so I'm sorry in advance! Galanty Federation, perhaps the most controversial of all the empires. The Galanty Federation is many different things, depending on who you ask. To their supporters, they are the largest group and most enduring democracy in New Eden, and a bastion for equality and justice. To their detractors, they are velvet-gloved, imperialist bullies, incapable of truly acknowledging any culture other than their own. Life in the Federation has often been described as utopian, and provide you privilege enough to live in the luxury of the corridors. This is likely true. As long as people don't cause harm to others, they are allowed to live their lives more or less in whatever manner they please. Poets, scholars, and politicians are revered, with citizens often flocking in droves to adopt the latest cause, movement, fad, or combination thereof. Opportunity is abundant, life is easy and free of want. Of course, this freedom comes at a price. Vice runs rampart in the Federation, fulfilling any desire you may possess. In a simple matter, things that might be considered immoral or illegal in the rest of the cluster tend to be readily accessible here. Drugs, body modification, prostitution, gambling. If you have the money, virtually anything that can be imagined can be enjoyed. It's not all debauchery, though. There exists a heavily right-wing movement among the Galanty. This nationalistic group feel the roots of the Federation are slowly being eroded by outside influences. To their mind, the federal way is the only way. Let the masses have their drug orgies, blissfully unaware that their privilege to do so exists only because certain people are willing to do the more unpalatable work that must be done. And should anyone object to these powers? Well, people have been known to disappear into the morass of Federation society. Despite its flaws, the Federation is still held up as a bulwark of freedom and individuality, and remain a land of opportunity where the outcast and discontent can seek comfort and succor. History pre-Federation's years. The seeds of the Federation were planted when the original ethnic Galante discovered another civilization living within their solar system. Galante scientists spot the Caldari entering their industrial age in AD 22463 and immediately dispatched probes to establish contact. Soon after, they were sending many missions with the intent of mining with and assisting what was seen as a primitive people. The Caldari eagerly accept the Galante's technologies, but remain wary of cultural interference. Even so, the two cultures gradually came to trust each other and work together. Side by side, they discovered Stargate technology and eventually developed the warp drive. Despite their ability to explore and colonize the cluster, the Galante took charge somewhat to the detriment of the Caldari, who were occasionally treated as afterthought when it came to interstellar politics. The Galante encountered several more races in turn. First were the Inteki, a low-technology race living on a lush, jungle-covered planet. The Inteki were far more open to Galante culture than the Caldari had been. Quickly embracing the new technology, they took to the star. Soon after, the Galante came into contact with the Mana, a group of divided nations who had long been at war with each other. In this case, since several of the more powerful Mana nations were slave owners, Galante intervention proved problematic. Initially, the Galante tried to fly the slavers with technology, expecting them to give up their practice in return for great strides forward in technological capacity. When the slavers failed to uphold their end of the bargain, the Galante wasted no time in giving all their technology to the slavers' enemy. In addition to helping them form a unified coalition. Only a few years later, the slavers had been defeated. Soon enough, all the nations under the Galante banner had begun establishing independent colonies in the Vergevender region. And as there were no rules or regulations on colonization, this is where the first real conflicts between them arose. Many times, planets claimed by one nation were colonized by another, leading to heated disputes, which often ended in bloodshed. And eventually, the Galante decided the best way to bring peace to their part of the cluster was to propose an interstellar federation of nations. Birth of the Federation. The diplomatic union of independent states, known as the Federate Union of Galante Prime, more commonly known as the Galante Federation, was officially formed in AD 23121. The Galante, Inteki, Mana, Caldari, and many other independent states of Vergevender were signatories to the Federal Charter, which outlined the rights of all states and all the regulations they were expected to follow. The primacy of the Galante in the Federation owed to their domination economically, technologically, and in sheer population. Along with the Federation came many of the institutions that govern it today. A Senate was convened to represent the interests of each of the members, with senators democratically elected from the constituent nation. From among them, they would elect a president. While no Supreme Court was established, a special Senate committee was put together to adjudicate international disputes. Finally, a combined navy was created, primarily to patrol against piracy and keep the peace. a lack of communication. One of the first missions of the newly minted Federation was a rapid expansion of their colonization efforts. With a centralized bureaucracy directing efforts, exploration of the region known now as Evershore was swift. The Manor were aggressive in settling the region, putting pressure on the new Federation by settling on several worlds already claimed by other federal member states. It quickly became apparent that these issues were largely caused by the sluggishness of interstellar communication protocols. Fortunately, these growing pains were soon solved with the discovery of faster than light FTL communications by the Galante scientist Lee Asbell. Within a year, the Federation was constructing comm relays all across explored space. Galante hegemony. While the new FTL network enabled the Federation to expand and explore more easily, it had another unexpected effect. The Galante were now able to quickly export their massive diversity of media, carrying their culture and ideals directly to the doorstep of billions who had previously only known them as distant influence. This led to a fairly rapid shift in attitudes throughout the Federation's constituent states. A secondary effect which aligned the majority of them more closely with the culture and morals of the Galante Prime. The issue of human rights became an interstellar concern. The Galante-dominated Senate covenanted to propose a new constitution, which will turn the Federation from a collection of sovereign states into a singular political entity. While the majority were in favor, the primary objections came from the Caldari and, to a lesser extent, the Entaki. Eventually, the Galante had their way. In the manner, Entaki and Caldari were no longer independent from the Galante. They were now united under one banner. Outbreak of War. The Caldari had long chafed against the Galante's larger population, more robust economy, and superior technology. For decades, the megacorporations who had come to oversee Caldari life had been secretly spreading beyond the reach of the Galante, founding hidden colonies and thereby violating several of the Federation's directives. When this was discovered, the Senate quickly organized an emergency summit demanding the Caldari Mega Corporation relinquish the colonies. The corporations, by this time the most influential factor in Caldari life, balk at the proposal, and after meeting in an emergency session, the CEOs of the top 8 corporations on Caldari form a ruling body named the Chief Executive Panel, more commonly known as the CEP, and declare their independence from the Federation. The new nation would be called the Caldari State. The federally sanctioned Caldari government shone firm solidarity with their old compatriots, yielding control of their militaries and resources to the CEP. Immediately, the new Caldari state secured a Stargate network that led to their colonies. In response, the Federation blockaded Caldari Prime, hoping to starve the Caldari population and force them into capitulation. Nouvelle Ravenor. A tense standoff ensued. The Caldari, accustomed to life on their harsh home world, anchored down and refused to budge. The Galante, assured of their own superiority, believed it was a simple matter of time before the cavalry would give in. For months, the stalemate dragged on. Things came to a head when a group of cavalry partisans known as the Tempest Dragooners bombed the city of Nouvelle-Rivenoire, a doomed underwater dwelling inhabited primarily by people of Galante descent. The attack devastated the city, sending nearly all of the half-million-strong populace to a watery grave. Rise of the ultra-nationalists. The Galante people demanded a response to the destruction of Nouvelle-Rivenoire. The president resigned in disgrace, claiming her inaction had led to the disaster. A fascist party called the Ultranationalists were swept into power. The new president, Luc Duvalier, suspended the constitution, declaring the war a national emergency, which could only be responded to with immediate and unquestioned action. Duvalier ordered the Federation Navy to begin bombarding Cavalry Prime, with billions of inhabitants still residing on the planet. Even those bombings, intended solely as tactical in nature, carried with them heavy civilian death toll. Within a day, hundreds of thousands of Cavalry and Galante alike were dead. As street after district, after neighborhood, after landmark, were wiped off the map. It was President Duvalier's belief that such a harsh assault would quickly break the will of the Cavalry and force them to surrender. Instead, the Cavalry refused to submit. On Cavalry Prime, the native superior knowledge of the terrain gave them a massive advantage. The Federation Navy often found itself bombarding desert settlements, while the Federation Army chased phantoms across empty tundra. Morning of Reason. Despite their surprising resilience, the Cavalry were undergoing internal schism. Some members of the CEP, seeing the destruction being wrought upon their homeworld, were in favor of capitulation. Others were insistent on fighting, claiming surrenders would destroy the Cavalry more surely than the devastation of Cavalry Prime. For a while, the two sides were nearly deadlocked, but eventually the militant contingent won out, forcing those in favor of making peace into the deadly tea makers' ceremony. A form of ritual suicide deeply rooted within Cavalry tradition. The remaining CEP member realized Cavalry Prime was a lost cause. They devised an evacuation plan, but the Galante blockade of Cavalry Prime prevented them from fully carrying it out. They anticipated that at least a month of complete orbital control would be required before the evacuation would be complete. So far, they had yet to achieve it for even a day. That's the end of the first episode about the history of the Galante. The author for the Galante had a lot of inspiration for them. So the next episode will be the part 2 of the history, and it's gonna be right in the middle of the conflict between the Galante and the Cavalry. Sorry to cut it there. Last week it was the Eve Montreal for me. I've met fans of the podcast. We had fabulous discussion together. It was a blast. Thanks guys for listening. And now, when I do my podcast, I have happy faces in my head. And I'm thinking of future awesome conversation that I'm gonna have with other Canucks and friends. See you next week, Canucks and friends.